Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Going home.
Good morning and welcome to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor. It's your favorite day. It's your favorite day, but you're busy, and that's fine.
Because I get the news on Fridays.
All day, all week long. Oh, I can't wait for Friday. I can't wait for Friday. And then finally it's Friday, and you're like, I'm busy.
I got to write the news. Because Mike gives me the news on Friday because he knows he needs news with an attitude on Friday.
News with an attitude.
Oh, and it'll work. No comment on that one. Mike the Great over there. Producing like a boss, the Ripster doing his thing. I do want to thank Rip on the air for almost every morning bringing my tea to me.
I gotta get my own intern.
It's incredible how nice my life is. Today is wide open on the general calendar, and we're closing in. This coming Sunday is Christ the King, and then we'll be entering the Advent season. The following Sunday will be first Sunday of Advent. So please make sure you have your Advent Advent wreaths ready.
Oh, I gotta get that.
Advent calendars for the kids. Mm-hmm. Little chocolates. We're getting ready, baby, to celebrate the birth of Christ, the Savior of the world.
That's right.
Oh, it's such
son's
good
birthday,
stuff.
Donnie's birthday.
You know what I do love, though?
Week on right. Weekend across the kingdom.
But you know what I do love about this time of year?
What's that?
Is people, you can do things that any other time of the year would seem creepy. Like, you can go to your neighbors with a plate of cookies, and no one bats an eye at that. Nobody questions that.
I haven't gotten
You can go to strangers' houses and start singing outside, and people are like, yeah, that's normal. Uh-huh. But try doing that in July, and people are like, I'm calling the cops. If you go to your neighbor's house and start singing...
I did that.
Yeah.
Mike comes to my office and just starts singing. He stands at the doorway,
that's beautiful.
You know?
No, that's beautiful. It's another reason why I love you. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grant us, we pray, O Lord our God, the constant gladness of being devoted to you, for it is full and lasting happiness to serve with constancy the author of all that is good. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Spectrum Collision, a family-owned Christian business that believes in the values of hard work and doing things right the first time. Spectrum Collision, proud to be the premier automotive and collision shop in Mobile for over 20 years. Call them at 251-342-0005 and like them on Facebook.
Oh, and here are your news headlines.
With an attitude.
For Friday, November 19th, 2021. Thursday, Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida signed legislation that will protect Floridians from losing their jobs due to COVID-19 vaccine mandates and protect parents' rights in making health care decisions for their children. The bill was passed through a special session in the Florida legislature and is the strongest mandate taken by any state in the nation. Deliberations continue for the fourth day in the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse today. Speculation is that this may be a hung jury. Austrian Chancellor Alexander Schallenberg said Friday that his country's going into lockdown. They've got a fourth wave of coronavirus. The lockdown should be 10 days initially. Starting February 1st, the country will also make vaccines mandatory. And he said, we don't want a sixth wave or a seventh wave. And so the national lockdown, which started this past week for the unvaccinated, now includes the vaccinated as well. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy delayed quick passage of the Democrats' Build Back Better spending plan on Thursday when he held the floor for more than 3 hours in a filibuster-style speech while Democrats repeatedly interrupted him, yelling, vote, vote. He says every page of the Democrats' socialist spending scam will be paid for and borrowed for years to come. There's a growing, in sports news, there's a growing drumbeat of support and concern about the whereabouts of Chinese tennis star Peng Shuai. And the Women's Tennis Association has threatened China and pulling all their tournaments. Peng Shuai disappeared about 2 weeks ago after she accused a communist leader of forcibly raping her. And so she hasn't been seen, though a mysterious statement was issued on WeChat that nobody believes. Hmm. Weather, it's cool a couple days. Thanksgiving should be in the 70s and no traffic accidents.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Friday mornings, there's a lot of reasons why we love Fridays, but especially when Media's Art Tom McDonald comes on. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Morning.
I was so elated when I saw what you wanted to talk about, because there is something wonderful about when the family all gets together to watch Christmas movies.
Yeah, there is. It's nice to have some time off and not every minute feeling like you have to run off and do something else, you know, knowing you have a little bit of a break this week and then another break coming up not too far down the road. So a kid's home from school and family gathering. And, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't point out that the primary viewing in the McDonald household during these times is football of all its various forms. So we do a lot of that. But
I thought he was going to say Marvel movies.
Which would have been fine also,
okay,
Ellen.
Just checking.
We're not forcing this on you.
Okay.
Yeah, really. Ellen, if you complain that all we talk about is Marvel movies, but then you're the one who brings it up. I think there's not a lot of room to talk there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what do you have for us here?
I was not going to mention any Marvel movies, so that's the first thing in the plus column. But at first I was thinking about, okay, Christmas movies you could watch over Thanksgiving. Then I thought, you know, what about Thanksgiving movies? Is there such a thing as a Thanksgiving movie? So let's have a little quiz right now. Off the top of your heads, y'all, can you think of a Thanksgiving themed movie?
Hmm. All I can think of is like an old Walton's Christmas Thanksgiving special kind of 2-hour episode.
Yeah, good night, John Boy.
Yeah, I know. I see that's how far I had to go back to think about it.
Yeah, or Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, something like that. That's all we got over here.
I think you're thinking of shows that you associate with family gatherings and the color brown or gold or something like Thanksgiving. No, it's hard. You know, I Google searched top Thanksgiving movies, and there are all kinds of lists out there, but you go through the list and almost none of them really have anything to do with Thanksgiving. They're tangentially related. There's really only a couple that stand out. So I came up with three options for Thanksgiving viewing that might be a little different than the standard Christmas things we might mention. So a couple of them might be familiar, I'm sure are familiar to our listeners, but one might not be. And so the first one I want to mention is one that a lot of people maybe have never seen. And I'll throw this caveat out there. I have not seen this movie in a number of years. It's been a good long time. So my memory is a little fuzzy. So I had to do a little digging on the internet, and I do plan on watching it again, maybe with my family this weekend. But it's a movie that was released in 1990 called Avalon. Have you all ever seen this movie?
No. No.
Okay.
No. So, Todd's going to Google.
I'm trying to remember. It sounds familiar.
I used to drive an Avalon, but the movie has nothing to do with the car. Came out in 1990. It's rated PG, so my memory of a content advisory is a little fuzzy. I don't recall anything majorly objectionable. I imagine it's language issues, but it's just over 2 hours long, and the movie is directed by Barry Levinson and is about a Polish Jewish family who comes to the it's not a true story, it's fiction, but it tells a tale that will ring familiar to many immigrant families. A Polish Jewish family comes to the U.S. Around the beginning of the 20th century, I think like in the 19-teens, to try to, you know, as many immigrants of that era did, they came through You know, people were coming through Ellis Island and in other methods, just trying to leave Europe, different countries of Europe, and make a better life for themselves. They'd heard that the U.S. was a land of promise and opportunity. So, you know, the immigrants came ashore through New York and started a life. And so this is about a family, in that situation. And as they raise their children and the generations go on, the movie kind of looks into their experience of how they adapt to life in America and how they try to hang on to their cultural heritage, but with each succeeding generation, it kind of slips away a little bit more. And so really, I mean, it's about all sorts of themes. It's about family. It's about, you know, the hope and promise of new opportunity, but it's also about the struggles and disillusionment when things don't work out the way that you want them to do, the strain in the family when, you know, what your vision as the patriarch for the family is not lived out by your grown children and what they seek to do. You know, it's about holiday traditions, family tradition, breaking of tradition, just as the time change and the culture changes. You know, kind of the movie I remember goes from the 19 teens all the way up through, I think, round about the 1950s with the advent of television and the effect that that has on the family. And it's just really, just a very poignant film, which I think is still very timely now because times continue to change and family, you know, the family dynamic continues to shift. And we are still, you know, we still have immigrants coming in and people trying to make a new life here. For better or for worse, the United States is still the place in the world where people think they can go and live a better life than where they are currently. And so really, these are kind of universal themes. So this is something that, you know, kids would not be interested in, but if you're looking for a movie for the adults who are gathered around for the holidays for Thanksgiving, Avalon might be one you might want to check out. It stars Aidan Quinn, Elizabeth Perkins, Armin Mueller-Stahl, and a very, very young Elijah Wood, Frodo from The Lord of the Rings. He's a small boy in this film.
Wow. Yeah, I have not seen this film before yet, Tom.
Yeah, you might want to check it out then.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I will.
Now, on the other end of the spectrum, a little more lighthearted, but came out around the same time, 1987, is the classic Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Okay, now that one's good.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Todd, surely you've seen this.
Yeah. I've seen that several times, actually.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say. So this is a Thanksgiving movie. I mean, the premise of the movie is Steve Martin's character is a salesman who is a marketing guy who's making a pitch in the big city, and he is trying to get to the airport to make his flight so he can get home in time for Thanksgiving with his wife and his kids. And due to the meeting running late and the weather being bad, he is not able to make his flight, so he has to come up with alternate arrangements to try to get home. And in the course of doing so, he encounters a boisterous man named Del Griffith, played by John Candy, is probably my favorite role of his. Del Griffith is a shower curtain ring salesman, and they become unwitting, like sort of unlikely traveling companions as they becomes more and more absurd the lengths they have to go to return home to Chicago. So it's directed by John Hughes, who was sort of the king of comedy in the 80s. So many classic films he directed. And this is a movie that I have probably watched this movie 20 times in my life.
Wow.
It is just great fun, and it holds up.
Funny movie.
I know. I'm
rolling her eyes. I've seen it at least 10 times. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I've seen The Sound of Music
hilarious.
20 times, you know, but that's got music and you sing along. Okay, I digress. Yeah. Go ahead, Tom.
Okay, it's you know, one of the reasons I've seen it so many times, it's on TV all the time.
Yeah.
So if it's on, I'm scrolling. I'll just
I know, and you see it, you're like, definitely.
Stop.
Oh,
yeah.
You're definitely going to watch that.
Yeah, but it's, I will, one warning, though, and here's what's weird. It's a weird thing that they did in this era. The film is almost entirely perfectly family-friendly, except there is one scene where Steve Martin is at the end of his rope at the counter of the rental car agency, and he just loses it finally, and he drops in the scene maybe 10 F-bombs in a row, which is a shocking thing. I mean, now if you use one, you get a PG-13 rating, and if you use two, you get an R rating, I think is the standard. Somehow this movie used about 10 or 12 and is PG. So I don't know how they got away with that. But in the scene, it's so absurd. And it's such a funny, fitting thing, weird thing for his character to do. When you watch the cleaned up version on TV, you know, on cable or something, and they change, like they dub in different substitute words for the F words, then the scene's just not funny anymore. You're like, well, that's okay. He's mad. All right. So what? You know, it loses all of its punch. So I'm not an advocate for bad language in movies, but I will say that context makes a big difference. You know, when language is used. In this particular case, the scene, they might as well just like change the scene altogether because it doesn't really have the effect without it. But I'm just warning people that this scene comes up out of nowhere. If you're watching the film, like if you stream it in its original form on a streaming service, that's going to be in there. If you watch it on cable or something, they're going to dub it all out to different language. So there's that. And there's one or two other kind of crass jokes, which are probably kids wouldn't even notice. But, I mean, 99% of this movie is fine for general viewing. But it's just one of those. It's kind of up there with Christmas Vacation or Christmas Story or Elf or something that if it's on, we'll just click it on for a minute and watch a bit of it with whoever happens to be in the house at the time. And then finally, of course, I can't leave out the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, which is just absolutely mandatory viewing for everyone all the time. And those disappeared, those Charlie Brown holiday specials disappeared last year or the year before. They went to streaming, and they did not air them on broadcast television, and there's this huge outcry. And so I think this year they're back, and she's looked for them on CBS, the CBS network, to air at least once.
Gotcha.
That's good. You got to have those in the mainstream free TV.
Now that you've got kids that are away, if there is one film, like everybody's coming home for the holidays, and you're like, we're all going to get together, we're going to make the popcorn, and we're going to sit and watch one film together. What is that film, Tom?
It's A Wonderful Life.
See? I was right.
That'd be the one.
That one is just in its own category. Like, it's not even fair to the rest of films. Like, if I was another film, I'd be like, hey, come on!
Everybody watches that one. Nobody's watching me.
And if not that, if we're in a, like, more casual, funny mood to watch something funny, we would probably watch Elf or Christmas Vacation or something like that with the older kids. You know, there's some objectionable content in Christmas Vacation for young kids, but with the older kids, that's what we might watch. But I did want to mention real quick, a bunch, if you're looking for just other stuff to watch that maybe you haven't seen, if you have Disney Plus, they had Disney Plus Day a few days ago, and they dropped a whole bunch of new content on Disney Plus. Including, I'm going to mention Marvel, Shang-Chi is now for free on Disney Plus. Enchanted, which is kind of a fun movie, is now on there. Jungle Cruise, and then new episodes of The World According to Jeff Goldblum, which is one of my favorite little shows they have on there. So a bunch of new stuff, and avoid the new Home Alone movie. My son watched it. My son John Paul said it's the worst movie he's ever seen.
Wow.
And the critics seem to confirm that. So stay away from the new Home Alone on Disney Plus.
See, why did they do those sequel things?
They think that they can do that. They we're going to ride on the coattails.
Yeah.
Like you guys. Come on.
Uh-huh.
Don't touch the classics. Don't touch.
You know, Tom, in my Twitter feed this morning, I saw a little trailer for the new show, The Gilded Age, which is launching in January on HBO by the producers of Downton Abbey. So Mrs. McDonald might want to catch that. I knew she was a fan.
Oh, yeah. That,
well, he's a fan.
That's on the radar.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's on the radar for us. And also the trailer for the new Downton Abbey movie came out this week.
Oh,
so
okay.
Got another one of those coming up.
See? I got something to watch down the road.
It'll be delightful. I'm drinking my tea right now. Right now I'm drinking my tea, Ellen.
Tom, you have a great week, a great Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you after that.
All right.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks. Bye. Kelly Brown's going to join us next. She is the founder of the website National. It's National Caregiver Month, and she's got a website to help caregivers nationally.
Nourish for Caregivers.
There you go. See, I knew there was a proper name. Stay with us here.
First thing we make you feel better. Next stop we pull it all together. Warm like a sweater, take my hand, hold on forever.
That's perfect Friday.
Who sings that?
That's Friday music.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Who sings that?
Rob Thomas.
Okay.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning. You're on Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor. Mike the Great, producing like a boss over there. Ripster doing his thing. On the line, we have Kelly Johnson, who is the co-founder of Nourish for Caregivers. You can connect with them at nourishforcaregivers.com. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning. Good morning.
So when you say for caregivers, who are you referring to? How do you define caregivers, Kelly?
That's interesting because, you know, especially coming out of this pandemic, I think many of us are realizing just how much we are a caregiver. And certainly looking at the family caregiver, someone caring for an aging or elderly parent. It could be also someone caring for a spouse, and also someone caring for a child with disabilities is, you know, kind of who we're initially looking at with the family caregivers. And then we also see, obviously, we're realizing how important our nurses and doctors and home health care and really all that broad spectrum of caregivers are as well, too.
Because with you and Deb Kelly Davis, who she's caring for her aging parents, but you had a son with a brain tumor. That's what started this, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. My son, when he was 5, was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And came upon very unexpectedly. You know, one weekend we were at a forest preserve and he was jumping on rocks, and the next weekend we were in an ambulance with a tumor that was supposed to be affecting his gross motor skills. So we really had no idea that it was coming. So chemo, radiation, surgery, the whole nine yards, and many years later he is, you know, a happy story. He is just graduated from college. So,
wow.
Definitely
awesome.
A good, happy story. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Find, though, when you're thrust into these situations or you find yourself in these places and you're spending yourself, what exactly do caregivers then need?
It's always, you know, it's interesting to think about what caregivers need. And I think the important thing to remember, especially as we're thinking about, well, first of all, this is National Family Caregiver Month. And so one of the things that I think is important about that is recognizing, you know, who are the caregivers in our life if we're not one ourselves and we are one ourselves. You know, what do caregivers need? And I think it's important to realize different caregivers need different things. And being able to let them know that you see them and you see what they're going through and the wonderful things that they're doing and the wonderful sacrifices that they're making. And then it may, you know, recognizing them, acknowledging them. So sometimes it may be just a phone call or a text or a hello, or other times it may be, hey, can I make you a meal? Or, hey, can I come and sit with your loved one while you take a shower? There's all sorts of different ways that we can help and support caregivers, and asking them what they want and what helps them is an important step in that too.
I think you got it right there, because each caregiver's needs to help kind of maybe reset them are different. Some people yep. need a few hours out of the house just to go mm-hmm. shopping or disconnect, and some just need somebody to talk with about right. some of the struggles they're going through. So how, when our listeners go to your website, nourishforcaregivers.com, how can they find the resources? Like, what will they find to help them there?
That's a great question. One of the things that we did do is we built out an entire resource page, and we built it around the idea of when you're feeling stressed, or when you need extra prayer, or when you need some tangible resources, you know, like that respite care that you were talking about. So we built our resource section, the resource page, off of what those specific needs may be. And then, so that's in the resource section. And then on the front of the webpage, because it's National Family Caregiver Month, we are offering some free resources for caregivers that support their practical, emotional, and spiritual health. So those resources are also available for caregivers, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ellen, I would think that you would want to speak a little bit more to this, being as someone who's mm-hmm. helping
yeah, with
parents.
Both my parents, which are going to move across the street from me next month.
Which I think is beautiful.
Great. Yeah, we just, it takes, you know, they used to say it takes a village to raise a child, mm-hmm. you know, the
takes
old
takes at least one dedicated daughter.
Well, no, you need siblings. I mean, I don't know how people do this that are only children or just two kids. I mean, it takes, there's six kids in my family, and they come into town, and they'll give me a break, or they'll give my dad a break, or they'll try to get my dad, because my mom needs more care than my dad, just to get him out. And you know, some of the challenges is you know, for my dad, who you know, this is, what did they celebrate, their 60th wedding anniversary in October. Mm-hmm. This is a woman that he's loved and cared for all his life, so it's really hard for him to even step away. We'll be like, Dad, you know, go do this. Or
like when you had to
that.
Drag him in the RV so that he could go visit
his brother. So we just try to find ways. And he's really appreciative of it when it happens. You know, getting him there sometimes is a little bit more challenging. But, know, I would suggest that people just kind of see who around you that really cares about you and the situation you're in, and try to build a small support system that can then help and branch out and come in with some of those ideas as well, because other brains in the game are really helpful in addition to extra hands.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And recognizing, and I think especially when we're talking about our siblings, but certainly our friends as well too, is recognizing the strengths of other people. And it sometimes may be the things that drive you crazy about them, but recognizing, you know, that their strength, or, you know, the way that they're always kind of bossy and organizing, well, that actually may be a real asset when you're needing to deal with the insurance or the logistics or things like that. So recognizing, you know, what strengths other people have that can complement yours, or that can kind of give you some of that extra assistance, are really helpful too, and I love that your story of your dad and you know, scooting him out the door a little bit so that he can go see his brother or whatever, or you know, giving him a break. I love that. Yeah.
I'm sure there are people listening right now, Kelly, who are thinking, well, you know, I'm just doing this, and this is what I got to do, and I got to grip my teeth, and I got to muscle through. So how would you invite them? Because I see on your website that you've got it numbers here of people who really are saying, hey, I'm finding better mental health when I connect with these individuals. I mean, what would you say to them and invite them to come to your website?
Yeah, I think that that is true, especially for family caregivers. We don't identify ourselves as caregivers. You know, we say, well, I'm just, you know, he's my spouse. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. Or this is my son. I'm taking care of him. I'm a mother or a daughter. And I think that's a big part, is recognizing that we are caregivers. And that then allows us to begin to seek some support and some assistance, sometimes more than other times. And certainly by recognizing that and stepping into that, it allows us to reach out and get some assistance and find other people who are going through the journey with us. so many different situations in life, and I think caregiving especially is one of those, where it does help to find others who are walking on this journey as well. And it's, you know, no two caregivers are the same, but certainly there are some shared experiences. And it's as we're able to, as community, to share those experiences is where we find encouragement. You know, we go back to our faith on that. Jesus created us, God created us for community, to be in unity with other people. And that's why it's so important that we can begin to identify ourselves and then reach out to others who are going through that situation. So I would absolutely encourage you to come into the Nourish for Caregivers website and take a look and begin to find ways in which you can be supported in this journey.
I think the other difficulty is, like, my next door neighbor is caring for her husband and has been for probably 10 years now since he's had a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And she is the main caregiver. And it's the little things. And I feel like she's got the mentality that anything where she's asking for help is a sign of weakness, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I brought in her garbage can one time, and then I trimmed the bushes between our houses, and she was in tears. And I'm like, that was nothing. Like, it's just what I do. I mean, come on. And yet,
right,
she won't seem to want to ask for help, Kelly. I mean, how do you help people that don't seem to want to ask for help?
It is, and I think some of it is, like, you just did it. You just brought her garbage cans in. You just did it, and it allowed her not to ask for help, but it allowed the help to be there. I think that is one of the hardest things for caregivers sometimes, is to ask for help, because you feel like, well, first of all, they're feeling like they have to be the strong one and they have to, you know, put on their superhero cape because they're caring for someone. And so by asking for help, they do see it as a sign of weakness. And also there's that little bit of vulnerability that's in there too, is if I ask for help and someone says no, then I'm in a, you know, am I in a worse place than I was? No, you're not. Oh, yeah. And that's okay. Not everyone can respond to that. But I think that as caregivers, we do need to understand that it's okay to reach out. It's okay to, you know, ask for someone else, especially as we identify other people that maybe are really good at some things. Maybe you're really good at it, bringing in the garbage can. And that's a good thing.
Woo! I got mad skills.
Salad.
Woo!
That's true. I think a lot of caregivers don't want to ask for help. Like, I don't want to impose, this is my problem, mm-hmm. I don't want to impose this. Rather than the mm-hmm. Christian perspective of sharing the burden, it becomes lighter. And so it's hard when mm-hmm. you're in the midst of caring to really say, I don't want to impose this on anyone else. So that's a problem.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think has been a real joy, and not every family has the ability, but if you have to bring in outside care to your home, we found some really good, faithful Christian women, and for us Catholic mm-hmm. women. And mm-hmm. As my mom, you know, as things get a little foggy in the present, but she can pull things mm-hmm. back from the past. Mm-hmm. And there's the richness of talking about stories of faith or reading mm-hmm. Things that are faith-filled. That brings her joy. So it's nice to have somebody in the home that also can relate to that. So that has been a blessing in our lives, too.
Yeah, praise God. That is a great blessing. And the other nice thing about having someone come in and someone else as part of that is that sometimes too, as decisions need to be made, sometimes it's helpful to have it come from that outside person so that you can help to navigate that. So then it's not you, the daughter, or you, the spouse, that's always kind of the heavy hand with things, that you have mm-hmm. someone else to help navigate that a little bit. That's great.
Is there a difference, and you've been doing this a while, and from experience with you and your partner, a difference perhaps in caring maybe with a child with a chronic illness versus an aging parent? And what kind of differences of ways of help could we look out for?
There is a difference, and obviously that's my caregiving journey. Mm-hmm. Part of the difference is I'm a lifelong caregiver, which is a little bit different than when you're looking at at some point with caring for an aging parent, let's say, you are going to be needing to looking at and talking with them about what their expectations are for the end of life and dying and walking them to a holy death. I like to think that with my son, I need to be planning for him when I die as opposed to when he does. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, a little bit of a difference. But it's interesting, so many of the topics and concerns of caregiving go across all of the all types of caregiving, and whether you are caring for a disabled child or a spouse or an elderly parent, that you're still going to be concerned with having to ask for help, and you're still going to be concerned with family dynamics, and you're still going to be concerned with managing your own stress and compassion fatigue. So there's some similarities and some differences.
I do want to point out, though, Kelly, for those who are listening who are caregivers, that it is, for those of us who aren't caregivers but can do things like bring in the garbage can, it's good for them to invite us into that situation because it's good for us.
Yeah. Like it's been
twice in 3 years, she's come over meekly to ask me to fix his adjustable bed because it's not manufactured well and the bolts come undone. And it doesn't take me long, but I have the skill set and I certainly have the tools. So I go over and it just makes me feel good because 15 minutes of time she's not asking me to come in and paint the whole house.
Right,
it's just a small little thing, but it makes me feel good. So please invite people into that situation, right, Kelly?
Thank you. That's such an important point, is that, by asking for help or by reaching out, we're giving other people the opportunity to be Christ to our loved one and to be Christ to us, and to, we're allowing them and inviting them into this opportunity to help. And as you said, it feels good. It's so important, so important. Such a good point.
Yeah.
And it's hard because it's hard. It's so important because it's hard for us caregivers who are in the middle of everything to think about that, because it's hard to be vulnerable and it's hard to reach out. But if you look at it from that perspective of giving the other person the opportunity to be a good Christian, to extend love and mercy, I think it changes your perspective and changes the dynamic of that as well.
Yeah. Kelly Brown, and the website is nourishforcaregivers.com. Go
Kelly check. Johnson.
Kelly Johnson. Did I say Brown?
That's okay.
Okay. Sorry,
Thank
Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly. Good conversation.
Oh,
so
man.
Needed.
Again, nourishforcaregivers.com. Check out the website.
Father Mateo Rutsnik.
Mateusz Rutsnik. You have to say it like you...
Sunday Gospel Poland. Reflection next. Save me here on L.A. Catholic Morning.
Welcome back to L.A. Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor. Mike the Greats at the Command Center. Ripster's doing his thing. On the line, Father Mateusz Rutsnik, who is the pastor of St. Vincent de Paul in Tallahassee and St. Joseph in Tuskegee, here to share the gospel reflection for Christ the King, the end of the liturgical year. Good morning, Father.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
So here we are, John's gospel for Christ the King. This is going to be awesome, huh?
Indeed, yes.
All right, ready to
Let's
dive
begin.
In?
Where is my coffee? The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here. So Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came to the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth, listen to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So, in the other accounts of the Gospel, when Christ is being listened by the Pilate, he doesn't say too much and he's silent there. John does it a little bit differently. And this is not in this John Gospel, but to mention it, because next year I probably will forget it. So some of the commentaries says about Christ's silence, and it's like he's silent before Herod, he's silent before Pilate, doesn't really defend himself, just say what's necessary, and like try to show Pilate that this is something bigger happening in front of his eyes. It's not just about some little rebel being condemned to death. It's about God's kingdom taking over, bringing redemption to human race. And someone pointed that Christ is there so much silent, doesn't really defend himself, doesn't speak about anything on his defense, because he doesn't have time to do it. Because as a redeemer, he's redeeming human race always. And taking time to defend himself in the situation, to try to get things better for him, will be very egoistic on his side. And because there is no egoism in him, he only focus on what matters for our salvation.
Amen.
Which is to keep walking this path on the Calvary, to let the Pilate condemn him, and to die for us. And you may ask, well, why this is important? It's not in this Gospel. Well, it's important because it didn't change since then. Christ is continuously redeeming us. He is continuously fighting for us to help us be part of his kingdom, to help us get the benefits of membership of his kingdom, to constantly save us. Because that's what perfect love does. Focuses on other person, not on me, myself. And so if we have sometimes doubts like that God is not doing something, that he is not helping, that I'm sick, or the tragedies are happening, you know, that's just the surface. He is the good king. He is the true king. He is the king. And he never stopped caring for us. He all constantly is doing that. But as he said, his kingdom is not from this world. So our expectations that we may have that, all right, God will bless me, God will keep me safe, God will provide for my family, he'll keep my kids safe, he'll make my marriage awesome, he'll heal me from these different diseases. Like, that's not really the main, that's not main purpose of Christ's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Christ's kingdom happened here to bring us God's love, forgiveness, and redemption. Everything that's helped us here on this journey towards heaven. And things that seems like tragedies here, from his perspective, these may be very important parts of our journey to heaven that help us to really accept his kingdom, to abandon my expectation, to lower my fortresses, and to let him be my God, my true God, my Savior, the one who really is present, who really does the work, but not the way that I would like him to do, because that's not really part of his interest. And then Jesus answered here, "You say I am the king." I mean, that's the most difficult sentence for me to read it, because I don't know how to re-say it. Like, what Christ is saying? Pilate says, then you are the king, and Jesus says, you say I am a king. Like, it's so puzzling, Christ's answer there. Maybe Pilate got it because he was in power and he knew what to do with it. But I don't know how to reread it well, where to put the accent. Because once again, well, his kingdom is not of this world. I don't understand everything what Jesus is saying. I don't completely get it. And all I can do is trust him and be obedient and abandon to him and just keep walking with the king on my side.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
Yeah, and I know that sometimes when we try to get in there and do the exegesis, it is difficult. But there are certain things that we can kind of understand and work with, even if we don't completely understand the rapport of the back and forth between he and Pontius Pilate. We do know who Christ is. And and what's beautiful about it is, of all the people in the world, he knew who he was. You know how sometimes we have questions about ourselves and what our capabilities are. And I mean, he absolutely knew who he was. And to be present with Pontius Pilate, just as you said, this is all part of it. Like in some ways, when you're reading it, you're like, he's almost like saying, okay, let's move along here. You know, the cross is waiting.
Right.
The cross is waiting for me. So it's like, whoo, mercy. It's just so beautiful. Absolutely so beautiful, Father.
Thank you. That was very wise. Thank you.
You're very wise.
No.
Look at that. No, you got a nugget here on Face to Christ the King. Father, just in regards to this feast day, it seems as an adult that we put more emphasis on it. Do you remember, Todd, growing up that this was a big... Oh, that's right. You were. You weren't in church. Yeah. Like, it seems like as an adult, this feast day in particular for me has just had more meaning spiritually. And the recognition of what it is and what we call when we say Jesus is our King and Lord and Savior, as opposed to when I was young and not understanding, just waiting to get to Advent because that candy you talked about at the beginning of the show, Todd. So so I think it's one of those feast days that you can learn something a little bit more about every year as you just contemplate on the kingship.
Yes, and it's a very countercultural feast because we don't really like kings. We don't like total authority. We don't like monarchy very well because we don't have a lot of those negative connotations with the abuse of the power. And here we have the Christ, who is the king, the good king, and who also is a servant king. And I think that's what we can every year learn more and more, that he's calling me to be a member of his kingdom, or we are members of kingdom, to serve, to love, to help him spread the good message of the kingdom and the benefits of this kingdom, which is God's grace, love, and forgiveness. So I think it is very meaningful, and now as we are receiving the Christ the King medals, it's like we choose the people who are serving at the parishes, who are probably not very visible, but who every day, every week, every month I present there, doing very important part of the ministry, helping God's kingdom to reach those who are invisible, those who are in need. And so we say thank you to those people who are receiving special way this medal, saying thank you for following Christ, your King, our King. Thank you for being the servant who cares so much for others, that sacrifices so much to make his kingdom more present and more visible.
Amen.
Amen.
It is true, though, in our culture, because we don't have a monarchy in our country, that we struggle with having lords, having someone that truly does lord over us. But the benevolent monarchy of God you know, as king of the universe, this is one that I can absolutely be submit myself to, because I know he has all good intentions for me. There's nothing selfish about God.
Yeah.
That he only wants what is best for me. And if I submit myself to his will, then that is the best life for me. Right, Father?
Amen. And I think in the old calendar, the feast of Christ the King was around before All Souls, All Saints Days. It was just at the end of October, somewhere there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was even more powerful because, like, yeah, Christ is the King of the living and the dead, of the sinners and the saints. And it was like, he's King of the everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the, like, big celebration there. Now I think it's still cool. It's at the end of the year, so it's all right. But Christ still is the King.
You're right. It puts an exclamation point on our liturgical year. Father Mateusz, can you give us a blessing before leaving?
Yes. Heavenly Father, you are a giver of every good thing in our lives. You bless us with your Son, who is King, good King of the whole universe. As you bless all the listeners for this day of serving you. Almighty God bless you, protect and strengthen the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Father Mateusz. Have a great weekend and have a nice Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
Merry Christmas.
We thank our sponsor, Caligaz Printing. For over 25 years, Caligaz has been Mobile's leading full-service commercial and digital printer. For great holiday ideas, visit Caligaz's t-shirt brand, Finn's Apparel, at finnsapparel.com. That's P-H-I-N-S apparel.com. Who's coming up on Monday, Mike?
Yes, on Monday, we'll talk with Ambassador David Moroney about Vatican diplomacy and Taiwan. Patrick Nowakowski shares about John Paul II's 40th anniversary of Familius Consortio. And Peter Jesser Smith discusses his article on the HHS mandate.
Fantastic. We hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning. God bless y'all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.